Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, as we begin this Christmas season, I wanted to begin with this question. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? I mean, let's face it, I mean, we've been through a lot the past few years, haven't we? I mean, we've seen division within our political world. We've seen the pain and death of war, first in Ukraine and now in the Middle East. We've seen one horrific shooting after another take place in homes and schools and bars and neighborhoods. And we've seen the painful fall of several well-known Christian leaders across our land. And I'm just getting started. Friends, we now live in a culture that has become so acclimated to pain, loss, and division that it's considered commonplace, really. I mean, we're not surprised by much anymore. And in light of this, I ask the question, where is the hope? Where is it? Well, this is the same question the Jewish people were asking 700 years before the birth of Christ. You see, God's people back then were in really bad shape. Well, they've been loved by God and called by God and chosen by God. Many chose to go their own way apart from God. And as we know, it's just a matter of time before people experience ramifications of their own choices. And this was certainly the case for their king, King Ahaz. You see, he held a position needed to bring about positive change for everyone, and yet he made his choices differently. And as a result, while he was still known to be their king, he was a king who was indebted to a foreign power. And in the process of leading and trying to appease them, he witnessed their pagan altars and their places of sacrifice. And since he wanted to obtain more acceptance with them, he remodeled the temple in Jerusalem after the pattern of these pagan temples and altars. King Ahaz even offered his own sons to the god Molech by passing them through the fire. Like I said, our choices have ramifications. They can either help us and heal us, or they can bring about pain to ourselves and many others. King Ahaz, he chose the latter. In fact, someone with an Ahaz heart almost always chooses the latter. They exchange a short-term gain for long-term pain. You see, an Ahaz heart is revealed whenever someone denies God and yet exalts themselves. Or whenever someone acknowledges God, yet exalts themselves over him. Or when someone hears God, yet chooses to go their own way. There are many different facets to an Ahaz heart. And even so, God in his grace and his goodness gave King Ahaz a new opportunity to make a different choice. And so the prophet Isaiah, God told him, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." So in a nutshell, God was telling King Ahaz, despite your choices, I want you to know that I still see you. I still value you. And despite the pain you brought upon yourself, I want you to know that I can still heal you and restore you. So ask me for a sign to come from anywhere. I'm waiting. I'm listening. Friends, I don't know what you call that, but I call that a huge moment of opportunity. And so what did he do with it? He said, I will not ask. I won't do it. I will not put the Lord to the test. Well, where does Scripture say he would put the Lord to the test? He was to ask for a sign. See, that last statement makes him sound pretty humble when you stop to think about it. It seems like in his mind, if he asked God for such a sign, he would be testing the Lord and disrespecting the Lord. And in this response, it seems like much of that like Jesus Christ, if you remember. Because in the face of a promise made to Jesus, he said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And so on the surface, King Ahaz is in good company, but not really. You see, in Matthew 4, Jesus responded to a statement made by the devil himself. In Isaiah 7, Ahaz responded to God himself. Completely different situations. But there's more going on underneath the surface, you see. Because one primary reason why King Ahaz wasn't really looking for a sign from God was because he had already made very different plans. You see, rather than trust in God, Ahaz was looking to Assyria to help him. After all, why trust in God when you can have another powerful nation standing right there with you? And why trust in the prophet Isaiah, since he had spoken against almost everything that King Ahaz had done? You see, like many people in our day, Ahaz was consumed with getting more likes, more friends, more stars, and more followers. Friends, if God ever invites us to ask for a sign, we should. Because when God asks us to test him in that way, he's inviting us to trust him. And you see, this was a problem for King Ahaz because he trusted only in himself and the decisions he made all by himself. And in this, are we radically different compared to him? I mean, scripture tells us there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. What do we see in our world today? A lot of people who are lovers of themselves. And so haven't we in some way rejected something God has offered to give us? And haven't we all pushed God's grace away for a season so we could explore our own way instead? I think the truth for many of us is that we don't need to look back very far in our lives to see that we have much more in common with King Ahaz than we care to admit. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we're not alone, that this was true for the Jewish people as well. They shared the heart of King Ahaz, an Ahaz heart. And so just like him, they would be taken over by an enemy and forced to live in bondage and servitude. And in the process, everything they had once known and loved would completely vanish. First, they would experience a loss of their freedom, a loss of their freedom. They would be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and where to go. I had a friend some years ago who wanted to leave his job for a better job, he thought. Now, keep in mind that the job he had was relished by many others. He was leading a very large organization. Everyone reported directly to him. But he thought if he went to this other place, well, he'd have even greater freedom and greater influence, because after all, this other place was twice the size of the organization he was leading. The problem, really, for him that he chose to overlook was that if he went there, he would no longer be in charge. He would actually report to someone else. And that would be a problem for him, I thought, because I knew him pretty well. And I also knew the boss, his future boss, where he was going. And I said, he's a great guy. But here's the thing, if you leave here to work for him there, you're gonna need a hall pass to go to the bathroom. So I encouraged him not to go. I said, you're not gonna like it. My friend chose to leave anyway, despite my warning. He moved over 1,200 miles away. He worked for this other leader, and after 2 weeks of doing so, he contacted his former employer and asked for his job back. And in their grace, they granted his request, but they said, it's going to work a little bit different now. Just like where you are, you now are going to report to someone else. His fate was sealed. He too would experience a loss of his freedom. But you see, unlike my friend, the Jewish people who lived at that time, they would not come back. They would not be allowed to come back. That would happen much later, but not them. And this would result in a loss of their land as well, a loss of their land. And this was the very land which God had promised them long beforehand. I mean, when God made this promise, they were not only just slaves in Egypt, they were a people without hope. And even so, God told Moses, he said, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, always true to his promise, of course, God eventually brought them into this land and it was theirs. But while milk is nice to have, after a while it seems kind of ordinary. And while honey can be sweet, after a while it kind of loses that special taste, if you know what I'm talking about. You see, it's easy to take things for granted until your own choices bring you to a place where you don't have milk and you don't have honey anymore. And when that's the case, you want them both right now. This is always the result when you allow an Ahaz heart to lead you. And so they experienced a loss of their freedom, a loss of their land, which led to a loss of their leaders as well. See, back when it started, I mean, they demanded that they have their own king. They wanted their own leader. And now, as a result of their choices, they would be people who bowed in horror to a foreign king, the kind of king they never would have chosen on their own. And as a result, they had no vote, they had no say, they had no opinion that even mattered. They were a people without hope. And so with all of this present and future pain swirling around him, you would think King Ahaz would wisely seize upon that opportunity that God gave him. Ask me for a sign. Who wouldn't? Well, I think someone who thinks they have it all handled. Someone who wants to desperately cling on to even the illusion of control. You see, Ahaz thought to himself, why would the Jewish people need God when they have me? Me. If we're honest, we can relate, can't we? I mean, don't we live in a culture that's a lot about me? I mean, let's face it, we have my identity. You know, I have my rights, my pronouns, my party, my way. I think we can relate. And in the face of that kind of pride, the prophet Isaiah could withstand it no longer. And so in this moment of great frustration and desperation, he cried out, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?" So this was Isaiah's way of saying, your choices, they've hurt many others. Your pride has brought about destruction. Your excuses have brought about pain to the masses. Will you now try the patience of God as well? In fact, if you go home and you examine this text, you'll see that King Ahaz was asked two different questions, and yet failed to deliver even one response. You see, when you have an Ahaz heart, a heart that's all about me, it's really hard to be humble. And so after King Ahaz rejected God's offer for him to ask for a sign, Isaiah then said, "The Lord then, himself, will give you a sign." He was basically saying, King Ahaz, you missed your opportunity. You are so focused on yourself, you can't even see what God desires to do through you and for you. And since he had failed to ask God for a sign, now a sign would be given to him. And here it is. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This was a sign of hope. He's saying, oh, it's not going to happen with you. No, 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 Ahaz, you are a king, but this is not going to happen with you. This is going to happen through another king. Now to us, if we're honest, those words seem obvious. You probably heard them before in Christmas's past. I mean, since we live 2,000 years after Christ was born, many of us see those words with 20/20 vision. And yet due to the time in which Ahaz lived, combined with the pride within his heart, it was hard for Ahaz to understand these words at all. Why? Well, back then, a virgin had never given birth to a child. And while every child who was born into the world was given a name, no one was given that name, Emmanuel, God with us. How in the world would that be possible? You see, long before the days of King Ahaz, the Jewish people walked through the wilderness for 40 years. In those years, God was always present. He was, but God was always distant. In fact, the Bible tells us, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So while God was always present, always seen, and always faithful, he was never close. But soon, this would radically change. God would come in human form and be known as Emmanuel, God with us. And this was good news. It was a message of hope for the world. But God wasn't done. You see, he wanted King Ahaz to understand the difference between this future king who would offer the world a hope and the present king that Ahaz so loved, admired, and adored, himself. And so Isaiah told him, he will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. See, Ahaz was telling him. I mean, Isaiah was telling him that while you're an adult who really can't discern wrong from right, even as a baby, this future king will possess more wisdom than you. And the two kings you are so afraid of, they will die and turn to dust before this baby is born. But due to his pride, Ahaz couldn't hear those words. He couldn't see those words. He couldn't even consider those words. You see, in Ahaz's heart is always focused on his own agenda. And are we much different? And were God's chosen people any different? Not really. And that's why God's sign given in Isaiah chapter 7 would be expanded upon just two chapters later. And it's here we learn that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And while that kind of deep darkness might seem ominous to us, someone with an Ahaz heart actually likes walking in that kind of darkness. Because it's within this kind of darkness that an Ahaz heart can hide. At least it thinks it can. You see, God sees it all. And God is keenly focused on revealing, seeing, and transforming. And that's why the prophet Isaiah revealed who and from where this light would emanate. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Oh yeah, this child's light would be powerful because it would counsel, it would heal, it would transform. And friends, this isn't just good news for those people back then. It's good news for us. Have you looked around our world lately? I have. And I see a lot of darkness. I mean, the darkness of our economy. I mean, right now, the markets seem to be good this week, but everyone's saying, oh, just wait, recession's right around the corner. The darkness of our disunity. The darkness of our depravity. The darkness of racism still present in this world. The darkness of politics. The darkness of sin. The darkness of me. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest, in our darkness, we can become so incredibly self-consumed. And that's because there's a little bit of King Ahaz that wants to rise up within all of us. And so in the face of all this self-sufficiency, Isaiah had something more he wanted to say. He told the world that when this baby was born, his light would break through all forms of darkness. And he would live among us closely, radically, and powerfully. For of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. You see, Isaiah was telling them that even though you've lost your freedom right now, even though you've lost your land, and even though you've lost your leaders, a greater leader, a king who promises a greater amount of freedom and even a better land, well, he will soon be born into this world. And when he's born, he will not come from what you know. And he will not arise from among your own darkness. Rather, he will burst through everything you know and through every form of darkness to radically transform this world with light. The light of his presence. The light of his truth, the light of his holiness, the light of his faithfulness, the light of his grace, and the light of his salvation. Yes, the people walking in darkness will see a great light. Have you seen that light? Or have you just heard about it? See, Isaiah tells us that many people only hear about that light because they are so incredibly attracted to the darkness found within an Ahaz heart. You see, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, rather than turn to Jesus, rather than look to Jesus, we often look within ourselves, don't we? And in our pursuit of hope, we think that all we need to do is just take a short trip to the mirror. And when we get there, we silently think, why do I need God when I have me? Me. What a shame. See, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work, we can never save ourselves. Friends, our hope will never be found in how many followers we have, how many tweets we get, how many stars we acquire. Rather, you and I should turn to the bright and morning star. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. So I ask you again, where is the hope? Because our hope can only be found in Jesus. You see, in the end, it all comes down to Jesus, the manger, and me. Will I seek more of Jesus and less of me? Or will I humbly seek his manger instead of my own space and pride-filled place? Friend, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Because your level of hope this Christmas largely depends upon how you answer that question. Our hope can only be found in Jesus. So where is the hope? Where is your hope, really? Could you all just close your eyes right now? And there are two groups of people I'd like to address right now, and two prayers I'd encourage you to pray. The first group would be those who, in many ways, you're like King Ahaz. You are blessed. You have a lot. You have authority in your life. You're doing well at your work. I mean, monetarily, you're pretty comfortable. And yet, given all the blessings that God has given you, in truth, you're still going your own way. If that's true of you at all, I encourage you just to pray a prayer, something like this. Dear Jesus, you know the truth of me. You know my thoughts. You know my intentions. You know my motivations. And you know, Lord, that I need help. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my duplicity. Forgive me, Lord, from being a poser. Someone who pretends to love you, and yet deep down, I still continue to be a lover of myself. Lord, forgive me. Help me to walk the path with you. I want to honor you. The second prayer would be for those people here this morning who you've never really come to that place of faith in Jesus Christ. You've known all about him, heard all about him. You haven't made that step. You're in charge of your life, and if you're honest, you know it's not going as well as you hoped. Like King Ahaz, you're seeing things fall apart. You're seeing pain come into your life and in the lives of others around you. And for you this morning, perhaps you'd say a prayer like this. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know really that I am not much without you. Thank you for going to the cross for me, for taking my sins upon yourself. Thank you for rising again so that I can know the hope of everlasting life. So Lord, please forgive me. And Lord, help me to follow you all the days of my life. And that you would truly be on the throne of my life every day that I live. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Earlier I asked, where is the hope? Well, friends, despite what culture is saying, despite all the pressure around us, I merely say this, hope has a name. Let's stand and worship him. Right now.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.